As I said a little bit earlier, tonight is a healing service. And so I begin with an invitation, a starting point, if you will. And that starting point is to say that I believe as human beings, we all desire, we want, and we need comfort and reassurance and restoration. In our lives, these things are real and we need them. So I want us to hear tonight in the readings that I'm about to read and in the sermon and in all the other aspects of tonight, would you hear that invitation from God? That there is comfort and there is reassurance and there's restoration to be had in our lives and in the world around us. So that takes me to our first lectionary reading tonight. It's from John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. In the Message version, it says this: "Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen, instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good, a sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow because they're familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what Jesus was talking about. So he tried again. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep rustlers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." I believe that Scripture has the power to speak directly to us. It has the ability to move in our lives and change things, to shift things, and to bring something out that we didn't know or see or expect before. And I hope tonight that that's the case for you. But I do want to repeat one part of this Scripture. Listen to this again. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. And I want to begin tonight by saying that I believe God's love is personal. I believe God's love is more than just a voice, that God's love resonates within us. And as this Scripture says, that we know God. And what it means is that God is speaking to each one of us. And will you hear that tonight? That God is speaking to you through the Scripture. That God knows you by name. And that goes without saying, that God knows you inside and out. And that God loves you personally, and God is intimately involved in your life. And if you don't feel like that's real, if you're listening to me saying that, you're like, there's got to be a but there somewhere. I want to say to you, no, God does take an interest in you. God does love you and is personal in your life. And if you don't believe me, let's listen to our next Scripture reading and hear this. This is Psalm 23, a very well-known psalm. This is from the NIV version. It says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's just leave a moment to let those two passages sink in a little bit. Can you hear these two scriptures calling us to a restoration of the soul? Can you hear in these two scriptures God speaking in ways which says not only is God personal, but God knows everything within us and without us? Do you get a sense of a recentering of the spirit, of the self, of who we are? In these passages, do you see that there is God in the midst of the stresses and strains of life? We see this voice of the Good Shepherd. We hear it, we know it, and the scripture speaks about it, but there's more to it. We hear that there's the idea of entering through the gate and knowing Jesus' voice, of hearing and understanding, and not just hearing, but following and going with. We hear about God's presence in the dark valley. We hear about the quiet waters that refresh our soul. We hear about Jesus coming that we might have eternal and abundant life. And each of these scriptures opens up something of that for us and gives us something to work towards, to look towards, to be excited about. Because I do believe that God does have the ability to restore our souls. God has the ability to not only hold us, but to change us. God has the ability to invite us into newness. And I think if this is the only thing we hear tonight, if after this you don't hear anything else and you do hear that, that we still would have gained something this evening. That God does have the ability to restore your soul. That no matter what's happening around us, no matter how bad we think the dark valley is, God has the ability to restore your soul. Have you noticed how often the world around us will give us hints towards that? Will say, if you do these kinds of things, you'll be a little bit more centered, a little bit better in your life. Think about what we're often told around us to do. Things like go yoga, go do yoga, go do Pilates, go do something which moves your body in such a way that if you can do the perfect downward facing dog, that you will be better in your life. Your core will thank you for it. Have you heard people say things like, you should go exercise, go do the repetitive exercise, go run a marathon? Because that repetitive motion releases the endorphins and you get back and you feel better about life. Have you heard people or the world around you say you should practice silence? Go sit and be quiet somewhere. Listen to the birds. Smell the coffee. Have you heard people say you need to be mindful? Find the moment right now. Everything else, shh. Just right here, right now. The past is gone, the future's yet to come. Be here right now. Have you ever heard somebody say, go take those tablets or that medication to calm you down? Go take that medication for whatever reason. Have you heard somebody say to you, go binge watch Netflix, maybe? But go binge watch a TED Talk, a series of them to make you better. Better than you were before. Because if you listen to exactly what they say in there, you're going to thrive and everything's going to be good in your life. Have you heard people say these things? I've heard them being said. And some of them are incredibly true. They're not wrong. There's nothing wrong with any of them. If you exercise, if you're mindful, if you're aware of the world around you, if you practice silence, if you watch TED Talks to make you a little bit better because somebody's got some good ideas and they can share it with you, it will help you. But I want to say tonight that that only gets us part of the way there. It's not the full story. Can you notice as well in each of these, they're outside activities. If you do this, then this will happen. They start from the outside and they work in. But our scriptures tonight remind us clearly of the idea that God is the center. Christ is the beginning. If we hear the shepherd's voice and we know it, then we can follow God. If we find ourselves in the deep valley, it's dark, and we're not sure of what's coming next. And we become aware of God with us, in that dark space. Then we're able to respond in a new way. And it means that each time we respond from that same place, that we know God is in us. We hear the shepherd's voice. We come out and say, "Yes, God, I hear you." Then things like exercise and mindfulness, things like listening to TED Talks and making them allow us to understand the world a little bit better. It means those moments where we relax, we're responding from a place which is good and whole and with God. And it's not a forceful outside in, it's a living inside out. And it gives us opportunity to respond in a new way. And when Jesus says in the John scripture that he's come to give us life and life in abundance, that comes from a different translation. In this one, they say it differently. But what he's getting at is that if you hear my voice, if you trust me, if you hold on to what I'm saying, if you read scripture and pray and you gather together in community, if you find yourself in home groups and doing these things, you resonate and respond. You hear my voice and you respond to it. And it means that when we do these other things, which are good for us, don't hear me saying they're not. They are good for us. But when we respond, we then respond in Christ, through Christ, with Christ. And it changes that response. Gives it something new and more that wasn't there before. And this moment of silence becomes a moment where I can connect with God and see the world through God's eyes. This moment when I'm out running or cycling or doing something repetitive, it means that my body can become in tune with the world around me. And that exercise helps me. When it means that I'm engaging my core in Pilates, whatever the case is, that again I recognize my body, my soul, my spirit are one and working together in Christ. And it allows us to respond from a different place and move in that way. So while each of these is heading in the right direction, we try desperately to force an outside in. But here are these two scriptures. Again, the good shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because they're familiar with his voice. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I want to say as well, and I've said it before, I'll probably say it again in the future at some point, this scripture in Psalm 23, where we find ourselves in the dark valley, isn't a tunnel. And sometimes we picture this dark valley as a tunnel with the light at the end, and we need to work towards that light. That God is at the end, and somehow God is a prize for us. But instead, the scripture reminds us that God is with us in the valley, side by side, walking through the difficult times. We sang a song a little while ago where it said, "There is another in the fire." It refers to a scripture in the Old Testament of Daniel where he and his friends were thrown in a furnace because they wouldn't bow down to the king. And what happened was the people who threw him in, threw them in, a little while later saw another person, another figure in the fire with him. They weren't being burnt up, they weren't being burnt as they had expected them to. Instead, God was with them. In that difficult place. And the same way with this scripture, that when we find ourselves in the dark valley, God is not at the end of it and we need to struggle to get to God. God is with us here and right now, step by step along the way, helping us find our way in the darkness. And so will you seek out the paths of restoration that God has prepared for you? Will you look to the world around you and say, "There's a lot that I can do and be and see and interact with in the world around me. But when I begin with God, when I start with that as the starting place, then I can respond to the world in new ways. I can respond to the world in ways which will bring life and hope. Because God isn't distant and removed. God isn't far away. God is present with us in the midst of each of our struggles. I'd like us to do a short exercise, if you will, and I invite us each to close our eyes. You don't have to if you don't want to. Please feel free to keep them open if you would. But if we close our eyes, I want you to imagine that you're in that dark valley. And if you don't want to imagine being in that dark valley, maybe imagine a time in your life that you've struggled or a struggle that you're dealing with at the moment. And as that scripture says, it's a dark valley. It's a difficult place. Would you imagine the clouds overhead that are threatening to rain and snow? Would you see the darkness around you? Feel that moment where you're not sure of what's in front of you and what's coming next. Feel the cold on your skin and be aware of it. And then will you imagine God's presence? Will you feel the comfort of God with you? Would you feel your heart move and change as you realize God is there in that moment, in the darkness, giving you hope and sustenance? You can open your eyes. This is a short exercise I do with myself sometimes, where I find myself in a difficult situation, not sure where to turn to next. And the physical reminder of God with me, the stopping, focusing on God, hearing God's voice in that moment, feeling God's presence and reminding myself that God is there, is sometimes a helpful way for me to center back on God, to remember God in the situation. And I hope it does help you. Because Psalm 23 does remind us that even in the deep darkness, there is hope and light. As God's goodness and love will follow us all the days of our life. Never will we be alone. But this isn't just a warm and fuzzy feeling that I want us to leave with. This isn't just something which ends there. It's good to know that God's voice is with us. I believe there are real and important implications for how we hear these scriptures and what we do with them. Because how we live our lives in the world matters. How we respond to the world around us changes the world around us. How we interact with God in this moment changes us and means the next moment we face similar challenges, similar problems. It means we've got tools within us, the Holy Spirit working within us, giving us newness, so that next time it can be different as well. And so how we respond to these scriptures is also very important. By extending love and compassion to those around us, we can begin to embody God's care. We can begin to show provision for the world that God shows for us. I want to reinterpret one phrase that we find in Psalm 23. The one that says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Many times this is taken to be almost a bit of a gloat. It's a bit of a, look at me, everybody around me is my enemy, but God has pulled me aside and helped me. And sometimes we use that in a bit of a negative way. But I want to say tonight, imagine that isn't a gloat, but it's a call for us to practice generosity. And think about it the other way, that God has been generous to us in our moment of need. We're surrounded by struggle and people who don't want good for us. And God in that moment shows us goodness. God in that moment in the dark valley shows us something more. And if we took that and said, we have been blessed by that, God has shown us that's the pathway to follow, and we then do it after this moment, it means that each time we find ourselves speaking to others and sharing with others, not just about our faith, but about the life that we live. And we say to them, God has been good to me, so I will be good to you. God has moved in my life in ways I didn't expect. So I'm going to try and either speak that or live that into your life and to help you in that moment. It means that how we respond to the world because God is in us will change the very world around us. And so when we extend love and compassion to those around us, we begin to embody God's care and grace. And the world begins to shift as well. And that means that our enemies are no longer our enemies. They're the ones who we are able to show compassion to.
Those people who have brought us to a place where we're frustrated and angry and unhappy means that we have opportunity, as God has had opportunity in our lives, to show compassion. And it immediately changes that relationship. And so this dark valley becomes less dark. The struggle that we find around us becomes less of a struggle, because we are invited by God to prepare a banquet in the midst of our enemies. And this scripture shifts a little bit. I want to leave us with an opportunity tonight. Would you identify a place in your life, something that is stressful, something that is weighing heavily, and become aware of how the Good Shepherd may desire to bring relief into that? Think about the banquet that could be prepared in that struggle and strife. And think about how God is able to, because God's presence is with us. God does know us personally and want to care for us. God is inviting us into newness of life. Think about how the Good Shepherd might desire to bring relief into that situation. We could maybe ask it this way as well. How does Christ want to shepherd you in ways that bring healing and help in your everyday life? There'll be some people available after the service at the two rails at the sides. If you'd like prayer after the service, if this has resonated with you and you've said, yes, I want to see the Good Shepherd work in a new way, would you come pray? You don't have to do it here. You can do it at home as well if you'd like. But here there's opportunity with people ready and waiting to pray with you. Let's end with a prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly God, we thank you for your scripture which opens up newness to us. We thank you for the way in which your Holy Spirit works in our lives every single day. We thank you that we're in this room tonight with these people, that we've heard these two scriptures, and that we've had opportunity to explore one interpretation, one way in which they might change our lives. We do pray, God, that your Spirit would work in us so that we can see the opportunities that you lay before us, giving us the ability to respond each moment and each day. We pray, God, as we hear these scriptures, that they would sink deep into our hearts. May we know you as the Good Shepherd. May we hear your voice. And may we take comfort from it. May we see you in the dark valley. And may the light, the warmth of your love, even in the most difficult times, never leave us. May we always be aware. Tonight, God, as we come into this place, would your Spirit change us, and would we leave different people?